Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio. Well, hello everyone and welcome once again to WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, you can always log into the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Before we get into Monday Night Raw, let me address a lot of the mail that I got in regards to a few issues. We'll take them one at a time because some of them are only going to take about 5 seconds. Number one, apparently Jonathan Coachman, the coach, accused of sexual harassment while he was working at ESPN. I don't know anything about it. I'm telling you right now, this whole thing, regardless of how you feel, this is getting out of hand. And I'm just not going to comment on any of this until I find out whether there's any credible sources, if it's just people making crap up. Who knows what it is? Let the proper authorities look into this and find out. So I'm not going to comment on that. Number two, apparently there has been some rumblings that the WWE, specifically Vince McMahon, wants Alberto Del Rio back. Well, that makes one person. And I'll tell you right now that the only reason, if there is a reason, that Vince McMahon wants Alberto Del Rio back is so that he can't do anything for Impact Wrestling, because there is no other reason. Del Rio has publicly humiliated the company. He's threatened Triple H and called him out. He's repeatedly said negative things about them. He's wrestled like he was asleep for half of the last year that he was there. There's no reason for Alberto Del Rio to be in the WWE other than to take a payday to not wrestle for somebody else. And that's what this would be. And one of the other things that I've been asked about is what the hell happened. I guess it was in Chicago or Texas. I'm not even sure where. But apparently Brock Lesnar was scheduled to show up and face Kane in a title match, and the match lasted 35 seconds. And fans went ballistic. And a lot of people wrote me and said, this is a really clever way of getting Brock Lesnar over as the heel who really doesn't want to wrestle like Roman Reigns said. And this is a really cool thing the WWE's doing. It's almost like, you know, they're marking people out. No, that's not true. Brock Lesnar's been doing 30-second matches since he got here. And they weren't trying to fool anybody or mark anybody out or make people boo him. That's Brock Lesnar's work rate. He's at a house show. You think Brock Lesnar's going to give you 10 minutes at a house show? He wouldn't give you 10 minutes on a pay-per-view. He's not going to give you 10 minutes on a house show. So it's not the WWE's clever way of getting Brock over as a big-time heel. If it accomplishes that, fine. I don't see how, since really nobody was there except the people that paid to see it, and okay, social media leaked it, but I don't see how that becomes a huge deal. So, no, I don't think so. I think that's just Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's not going to do anything that might potentially harm him for his WrestleMania match. And the WWE won't allow him to. A la Bill Goldberg. Remember when they wouldn't allow Bill Goldberg to do anything leading up to that? And B, he's probably not looking to take too many bumps prior to WrestleMania because he's training for MMA. So you're getting your typical Brock Lesnar. It has nothing to do with them cleverly trying to make him a heel. That's just not true. Anyway, okay, let's launch into what happened last night on Monday Night Raw, because it was a weird Raw. It was a weird Raw. First, Kurt Angle comes out. And Kurt Angle basically says, look, I'm not even out here as a GM. I'm out here because I'm angry. Well, you wouldn't know he was angry because he was leading the You Suck chant and smiling and waving to fans. And, you know, I don't think he quite gets the fact that if you were punched in the face and you're out here to really confront the guy that punched you in the face, you probably wouldn't be happy and glad-handing people. But he did anyway. And then he says, all right, I'm pissed as I can be. I'm calling out Triple H. And instead, Stephanie McMahon comes out. And Stephanie says, well, I mean, Kurt, you did provoke him. You said all these crazy things. And, you know, let's just forget this. Everything's behind us. After all, you know, and Triple H isn't even here. So, okay, Triple H isn't here. So Stephanie is. So that means they came to Raw separately. What? But anyway, Triple H isn't here. Out comes Ronda Rousey. Now, Ronda Rousey gets a really good reaction this time. Big pop full of Milwaukee. And she is just happy as she can be. Which probably isn't the way they wanted her to walk out, but that's the way she walked out. Happy she can be, grinning from ear to ear. Went around the ringside, it seemed like twice, to make sure she glad-handed everybody who had their hand out. To the point where Stephanie McMahon actually mentions it and says, you missed somebody. And she says, I'll get them later. And then takes the microphone and God help us all. God help us all. The girl can't do it. The girl can't do it. And here's the thing. Your hero is Roddy Piper. Gay Nakamura cuts a better promo. Your hero is Roddy Piper, and you learn nothing from Roddy Piper on how to use that microphone, how to use facial expressions, how to use emotion and attitude, and you know, no, you haven't. 1 minute she's smiling, happy, and she's like, well, I'm thanking you for this opportunity and this, that, and it was just a mess. And then she says, well, according to my contract, I get to challenge anybody. And Stephanie corrects her and says, well, no, not anybody. They have to be an active member of this roster, and they can't be a champion, which I guess means she could challenge Asuka, which I don't know how that would work, but that's what Stephanie said. And she says, okay, well, I made my decision. And Stephanie says, oh, wait. She made her decision. Let's get a drum roll. To which I don't know whether she did it on purpose or whether she just lost her cue or I don't know, whatever. But right in the middle of the drum roll, so absolutely no one could hear her, she says, I choose you. And Stephanie has to say, wait a minute, for the benefit of the 99% of the people who didn't hear her. She said she chose me. Well, you can't choose me because, you know, I'm not a wrestler. Out comes Triple H. And he says, whoa, wait, you know, you can't choose Stephanie because she's a corporate person. To which Kurt Angle says, well, she is a corporate person, but she also has a second contract as a superstar. So I have the ability to make that match, and that match is happening. And I know somebody else who has a second contract as a superstar, and that's you. So I'm going to interject myself into this, and it's going to be myself and Ronda Rousey against Triple H and Stephanie. Now, here's why the premise of this stinks on ice. Did we not see Shane McMahon? Did we not see Shane McMahon on SmackDown override a general manager's decision when Daniel Bryan said, "I want Jinder Mahal to face Bobby Roode for the U.S. belt," and Shane McMahon said, "No, it will be Orton. I'm overriding you." Okay. Well, apparently then the chairperson, whoever she happens to be, can override the general manager, so why wouldn't she just do that and say, I'm overriding this decision? And then they get their ass beat a little bit. And this is how desperate it's become. They are so desperate to get Ronda Rousey over and get this WrestleMania over that even Stephanie and Triple H are willing to show some ass here and say, just, I guess you're going to have to beat me up to get the crowd to pop, because we're on thin ice. Yeah, they're on very thin ice. And here is a newsflash. I like Ronda Rousey. She seems to be very fan-friendly. She seems to be a nice girl. She does have legit fighting talent. She has zero ability on the mic. She has two facial expressions. Grinning like a pumpkin on Halloween. And I'm angry. That's it. And she cannot string two words together on that microphone. She gets nervous. You can tell she's nervous. You can't have this. You can't have her on the microphone saying, hi, guys. Yeah, thanks. It's like you called a fan in the ring and said, you know, hey, it's so-and-so's birthday. You want to say a few words to the crowd? And they're like, yeah, hi. I'm okay. I'm kind of embarrassed. Are you kidding me? Did you not practice any of this? Did no one give her a microphone and say, let's hear you do some stuff before we hand it over to you and you just ruin the segment? I'm not picking on her. I mean, you know, I'm just saying that I don't, that they kind of threw her to the lions, as I hear. Go do what you can do. And what she can do is exactly nothing. And if you're a Roddy Piper fan, I'm sorry, I'm holding you to a different standard. Because why are you a Roddy Piper fan? Because he was a brilliant wrestler? Because here's a newsflash, I'm a huge Roddy Piper fan, and he wasn't a brilliant wrestler. What he was is a brilliant talker. And if you're a fan of his, my assumption is you're a fan of his because he was a brilliant talker. And you've learned nothing? You learned nothing from him? Mike, I'm sorry. That was one of the worst promos I've ever heard anyone cut.
It was one of the worst promos, and it was illogical. I mean, that what have we talked about over and over the last about how illogical the WWE has become? And this is, and like you said, this Raw was sort of a mixed bag. You know, you got this thing that's very illogical, then some of the other stuff was mostly logical, you know? I mean, what can you say?
Look, it's logical that Ronda Rousey wants to fight Stephanie. It's not logical that she can't override it. They should have at least done something where they said, hey, Kurt, you know, I know you're mad about the punch. I know you're mad about whatever, so here's the deal. We normally have to clear every WrestleMania match, but to make up for the fact that we punched you in public, if you want to make a WrestleMania match, we won't interfere. You get one match that we won't even touch. So go ahead. You got somebody you want some revenge on, you know, you don't like The Miz, you don't like whoever, make whatever match you want. We won't touch it. And then he says, oh, you know what? Great. I'm making this one. Then it makes sense. It's not that hard to do, but no, instead they just come up with this. And I'm sorry, I like Ronda Rousey. She seems to genuinely be happy to be there. She's certainly going to lend some credibility to the women's division, Sabretooth, but that girl cannot talk on a microphone.
Oh, my God, where do I begin? First of all, change her damn theme music. I mean, what is she, a teeny bopper? I mean, change that theme music, first of all. I mean, if you're like the baddest woman on earth, your music should be like, at least like, it should reflect that. That song does not reflect the baddest woman on the planet. It doesn't. It doesn't intimidate anybody, you know?
No. No, you're
also,
right.
Yeah, like, and also, like you said, I mean, they could have easily overrode those contracts. I mean, if they refuse, I mean, like, what are they going to do, sue them? No, they own the company. They can override whatever the hell they want to. They should have had Stephanie and Triple H rubbing it in their faces. We don't have to do nothing. We own this company. We're not holding any contracts. And then they should like build it up after where Ronda Rousey, she eventually goads Stephanie into accepting the fight. If she pisses her off, I mean, have that build
right
up over the next few weeks after where she has to accept it. You know, she's so pissed off that Ronda Rousey said, you know, she's calling her a coward or something. She calls her out of her name. She calls her all these names. But when Stephanie gets so frustrated, she says, all right, I accept the damn match. But no, they didn't do that. They jumped the gun.
At least be scared when she said you're going to, and she didn't even act that scared. She's like, okay, well, whatever. I know Derek's saying, I like the song. I like the song too. I'm a big Joan Jett fan, but here's the problem. Sabretooth is right. It doesn't reflect her image. Okay. I like Shook Me All Night Long too. I don't want The Undertaker to come out to it. All right. You got to work the character. It's not about Ronda Rousey saying, I'll sign the contract, but I want to come out to my all-time favorite song, and I want to come out to my all-time favorite wrestler's graphics. What are you, 12? I won't sign unless I have green M&Ms in the dressing room, and only green, and I want my logo to be in Roddy Piper's font. Grow up. Forge your own image. Because right now you're making fun of Roddy Piper, because Roddy Piper would have grabbed that microphone, and we all know what would have happened. So you're not doing Roddy Piper any favors, I'm sorry. Sorry, you're just not. Anyway, we get Nia Jax and Asuka again. Now, here is where I'm going to part with some fans, because I had an awful lot of fans write me and say this, not so much the match, but what happened after that match with Nia Jax, Alexa Bliss, is the end of Nia Jax. And the WWE totally blew her character. So let me first say this. The match was average. Once again, Nia Jax taps out. Once again, Asuka is apparently unbeatable. We get it. So if she can tap Nia Jax out, why are we biting our fingernails off of whether she'll win at WrestleMania? So let's go to the backstage segment. Here's why I disagree strongly with the fans who say, and I don't stick up for WWE too much, but I'm sticking up for them this time because fans have written me saying Nia Jax was a monster and she shouldn't be backstage crying over one loss. She should be tearing apart the dressing room. They should be making her this mean, big, giant, indestructible female Braun Strowman. Well, folks, the horse has left the barn on that. She has tapped out to Sasha Banks. She has been pinned by Bayley. She has now lost three times to Asuka. The horse has left the barn. She's not an indestructible monster. They booked her to be a very beatable big girl. So now what is their only other choice? Is to make her a sympathetic character, to use that size against her instead of she's a monster, look how big she is. I agree with you. Initially, she should have been like, I'm, you know, the all-powerful whatever, like Awesome Kong. But they blew that. So the WWE's already blown that. So now, putting her in a position where Alexa Bliss, in a kind of a half-hearted way, is trying to make her feel better and telling her, I know you struggled with this your whole life, where you were bigger than other girls and they made fun of you and this, that, and the other thing, is lending an air of humanity to this character. And now you're beginning to say, well, maybe that's why she was so angry. Maybe that's why she had to prove herself and throw these girls around, is because she felt like she's not equal to these girls because she was always made fun of. She was picked on about her size. She was always expected to do bigger and better things because of it. I think it's a good idea, because there's nothing left for her. What else are you going to do with her? She's not an indestructible monster. If she can't beat Bayley, she can't beat Sasha, and she can't beat Asuka. They didn't do that with Braun Strowman. He didn't come out and lose to three or four or five people right off the bat. It's too late to make her an indestructible monster. So now the only choice you have to make her a sympathetic figure who you can say, okay, I get why she was angry in the beginning. There's the motivation. That's why she seemed so chip on her shoulder. That's why she seemed to have a, you know, constant mad attitude toward the girls, is because she was always picked on. And they picked the perfect person to do it, Alexa Bliss. People are saying, well, what kind of a match is that? You know, Alexa's 5 foot nothing. But that's the whole idea. The whole idea is Alexa Bliss is the exact type of girl who would have picked on Nia Jax. The little, small, pretty cheerleader type. So I think they got this one right. Todd?
You're absolutely right. I think they got this right too. It's a right place, right time to do this before WrestleMania. Like you said, with Alexa Bliss making fun of Nia Jax, the way she is, the size she is, and everything, can't even win the match.
Right. So, you know, and then Alexa Bliss trying to comfort her and really just kind of spilling all her dirty laundry. To me, Mike, that makes it's very clear they want her to be the face now. And it's very clear that they're going to run off the all my life I was picked on for being too big and different and not, you know, not like most girls, like her song says.
I mean, I know you don't watch Total Divas, but basically they did a segment on that show basically saying the same. Now, I think she was with Natty at the time. And they were climbing some long walking or doing something together. But basically that's what she said. Because of my size, I was made fun of and all that stuff. That's what they used that to set this up. Now, granted, here's something else to think about. You talked about her not being an unstoppable monster, but the problem is is when you have this girl coming out early on and smiling as this supposedly unstoppable monster, that ruins the image right there.
I agree.
Did Braun Strowman come out and smile? No. You know, and that's the deal. And I do agree, this is a good way to turn her face, and this is probably, like you said, this is the only thing. And look, on the mic skills, when Nia Jax is better than her, Ronda Rousey on the mic, then you got a problem.
I'm Asuka is better than Ronda Rousey on the mic. I mean, this is bad, but Sabretooth, I don't know. I mean, fans are saying, I don't like this. Well, I do. I think it was great, and I think for Nia to break down and cry over the thing and have it, and they're saying, well, that was the wrong time. They should have brought it around slowly. No. Bring it around at her lowest point where she had to win to go to WrestleMania and didn't, because that makes her at her weakest, and that makes Alexa Bliss more of a heel, that at her weakest point, Alexa Bliss is picking on her psyche, not later on. So I think fans are missing the point on this who don't like it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, and to be honestly, I mean, like, that whole segment took to my heartstrings, man. I mean, I really felt for Nia, you know. So I mean, so they did something right as far as like getting behind this character, changing her over to a face. And also, you're right. I mean, like, that was left a barn about her being a monster a while back. The moment that she started, I mean, like, the moment that they started showing her having feelings for Enzo, you know, she's capable of liking somebody. That sort of built that whole monster thing too. You know, she was showing emotion for somebody. So I can't wait till, and it's coming till Alexa turns on this girl. And when she does, it's going to be vicious. I mean, she's going to get some major heat when she turns. It's going to be vicious.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think they're going in the right direction with this. Like I said, I critique the WWE very harshly. And I know a lot of fans may disagree with me and say, oh, it ruined Nia Jax. I don't think so. Nia Jax was already ruined. She was never going to be rebooked into that giant monster, undefeatable girl routine. Not after everything that's went down. So this was a good move, in my opinion. Anyway, the Bar takes on the Revival. If the Revival win, they go to WrestleMania. They don't win. Guess who's going to WrestleMania? There's not enough weeks left to bring up a team from NXT and try to promote a program with them, so my assumption is we're going to get everybody fighting the Bar, the Club, and Titus and Worldwide, and everybody. And here we go again with how many people can we fit in one match. So we won't even discuss that. There's nothing to discuss. What we will discuss is the John Cena thing, because John Cena did a very smart thing. John Cena came out and led a credible path to WrestleMania, where some fans will buy this and say, you know what? He's right. If he wins, he'll be that 17-time champion. And then he'll go to WrestleMania. AJ will get his claws back immediately, and we'll have a three-way dance at WrestleMania between the top three guys in the WWE. That's not happening. The only way that's happening is if really and honestly and truly The Undertaker cannot fight at WrestleMania. And here's a newsflash. I just saw pictures of The Undertaker all over the internet, and guess what he did? He has dyed his hair and he has dyed his beard. And the only time The Undertaker seems to dye his hair and dye his beard is when he is about to come back as The Undertaker. That's not proof positive. He has to pass a physical or whatever. So this could be their backup plan if he can't pass the physical. Because it's not going to be Ray. Now, we all know that. Ray's hurt, and it's not happening. So I don't know where Cena would fit in otherwise than that. They would maybe have to do this. So I think this is the WWE cleverly laying, this is our plan B in case, and we'll lay the groundwork for it, but our plan A is still The Undertaker. And I just don't see them taking away from the fans AJ Styles versus Nakamura one-on-one unless it absolutely is essential. What do you think, Sabretooth?
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, I don't see it neither. I mean, because Nakamura versus AJ Styles, that's money. You know what I'm saying? I don't care, you don't add anyone to that. He'll make it a three-way no matter who it is. I mean, the money is on AJ facing Nakamura one-on-one. And also,
yeah, I agree. Hold on, let me get you back. Go ahead.
Yeah, and also I like how John Cena did that because, like, it's sort of like, even though I like John Cena, what he did, like, you know, it rubbed me the wrong way because he, you know, because he's, like, assuming that he's going to go, you know, I mean, because it's like, I mean, like, that's a pretty bold, I mean, that's a pretty bold plan he has to win that championship. And then, you know, he's planning, like, the whole main event of WrestleMania. So that's a pretty ballsy move on his part, which sort of, like, you know, it's sort of, I want to say uncharacteristic of him, but I guess you're trying to, like, play off, like, how desperate he is to get that WrestleMania,
right.
You know. So it was, you know.
Yeah, now the strange thing is Goldust comes out. And for the life of me, all of everything that happened on Raw, after Raw was over, and I'm eating my bowl of cereal before I'm going to bed, I'm thinking to myself, why did they do that with Goldust? That's the one thing that's on my mind. I have no clue. None. Zero. Why they did that with Goldust. I just don't know. It doesn't make any sense on any level. He's not a top contender. He wouldn't have been going to WrestleMania if he did beat John Cena. I have no clue what that's all about. None whatsoever. Unless they just wanted to get Goldust out there. I mean, I just don't know. Todd, it was good to see Goldust, but I have no idea what he was doing out there.
You're absolutely right there. I, like you said, I'm clueless with the Goldust thing coming out. What he's doing out there. It's good to see him, but I don't think that would be a place for a Goldust heel turn. I would have, like, somebody, like, a bigger, like, sort of like a upper mid-card name, like Elias or something, to tackle more.
Yeah,
like
I mean,
that.
Somebody, because Goldust, I mean, he did a good promo, Mike, but what the hell is he doing out there?
Yeah, he did a pretty good promo. But they made a point in the match, and he said, well, he was wrestling pretty well, and he said, look, Goldust seems to age backwards. You know, and that's a pretty good point. He looks better at 55 than he does, or 54, whatever he is, than he did at 34. You know, that's no joke. Now, as far as the John Cena interview segment, I like it. It's a very logical thing, especially when he said, I'm doing it here because I know what would happen if I would do it on SmackDown. We'd have to see this guy, and we'd have to see,
right.
You know, and I want to get what I want to have to say out before, you know, I want to go into this long thing, and I want to get it out before somebody comes out. So I'm doing it here instead of on the other show. That was a logical move.
Yeah, and a maniac in the chat room saying they went to the commercial at the wrong time. Yeah, they did. There was a lot of weird timing. I mean, I don't know if you noticed the one point, but Michael Cole was saying, we're going to have a Symphony of Destruction match, and the graphic was John Cena. And then he was like, oh, but John Cena's going to announce WrestleMania plans or something. There was a lot of mistakes again last night. But anyway, look, you're right. Goldust looks good. Goldust still has something to contribute as a manager, as a something. And he can still wrestle. So, you know, don't know why he was in that spot. That's a weird spot for him to be in my opinion. So I don't know. And then we get, of course, the Bayley thing. Bayley comes out. Paige comes out. And listen, a lot of people are saying, why is Paige still even there? She can't wrestle. Why, you know, what's the deal? Well, the deal is they're paying her. So what are you going to do? Pay her to sit down? She may as well contribute something. And she, by the way, happens to be really, really good on the mic, probably next to Alexa Bliss, the best female on the mic. And why not utilize her? Because guess who isn't good on the mic? Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. So that kind of works for them. Now, they have kind of a half-hearted match, and the story of this match basically is Paige says, well, there's strength in numbers. And, you know, you might have grown a backbone, but you don't have any friends or whatever, you know, that happens to be. And after she gets the beatdown, here comes Sasha Banks. And she helps Bayley out. And I don't know if anybody noticed this subtle thing, but she helps Bayley out, helps Bayley to her feet, holds her hand up, but it's Sasha Banks music that plays. Which I think that's supposed to be what angered Bayley. I think at first Bayley was okay, but Bayley never got her victory music played. It was Sasha's music that played. And then Sasha said, well, come over and, you know, give me a hug. And Bayley pushes her away, which, to be honest, makes Bayley look like a heel. Sasha did a not a great job, because Sasha's demeanor in the ring should have been sadness or disappointment. And it's, why did she do that mixed with, should I go kick her ass? And I don't think that that's the right emotion. The right emotion should have been her kind of just put her head down and, you know, I lost a friend. I guess I really did lose a friend. If that's what you, where you want to go with this. But again, I'm a little bit confused, because I did think, of course, it would be Sasha turning on Bayley, and it appeared that way on many occasions, but so far Sasha Banks has done nothing wrong. She turned on Bayley in the Elimination Chamber, but it's every woman for herself. She threw Bayley out of the Royal Rumble, but it's every woman for herself. Bayley jumped off the ring apron on a tag team match where it isn't every woman for yourself, and rejected her embrace here after she came down and saved her from being beaten by a pack. So, Mike, it looks more like it's Bayley who might turn.
Yeah, and that's basically what I've been saying for months, is that the only way I see for them to rehab Bayley is for her to turn. Now, it may not be that way, but that's the way I see it. And if this is the first step in that, now you could almost with how the mistakes that were made in this show, you could almost say that. The wrong music playing at that particular time is a mistake by somebody, but I don't see it as a mistake. I think they meant for that to happen.
They definitely meant it. No, they meant it. Did you catch that, Sabretooth, that it was Sasha's music that hit?
Yeah, I caught that also, but I don't agree with them making Bayley heel, though. I mean, they can't turn it. I mean, turning her heel would be the equivalent of turning John Cena heel. You just can't do it, because so many young girls look up to Bayley. I mean, she's a hugger. I mean, she has, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
You can't turn it. You just can't. Do not turn her heel. I mean, like, give her like Paige said. I mean, give her a backbone. I mean, like, give her like that ass kicker attitude. But by all means, don't turn her heel, though. Just don't, because it seems like she's jealous of Sasha. Like, you got like the one girl who, you got like the cheerleader who everybody loves. Then you got Bayley, who's like the girl next door type. You know what I'm saying? It seems like she's jealous of Sasha, and that's not
Sasha's attitude as far as her presentation of herself, her wardrobe, her flash, her bling, her whole everything screams modern day diva type. You know, pop celebrity diva, which isn't supposed to be a role model for young girls. Whereas Bayley's whole, you know, persona is for young girls. And I don't know if you want to flip Bayley to be like, okay, F you to the little girl. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they'll still have it, you know, Sasha do something. But that segment fell flat if that's the case. If your ultimate plan is to make Sasha Banks the bad guy, I have no clue why you would end it that way. No clue. You would have had Bayley reluctantly give her a hug, and Sasha look like, yeah, I got over on this chick again, you know? So, I don't know. I don't like that segment that much, and we'll see where that goes. Let's go to the Bray Wyatt thing. They're trying very hard to rebuild Bray Wyatt. They're even telling the announcers to say, this is the new Bray Wyatt. This is the new whatever. Well, it ain't going to go anywhere if he loses at WrestleMania. And by the way, it looks like the Hardy compound that we talked about is going to be in play at WrestleMania. And I wonder just how many people remember the disaster that was the House of Horrors match when it was taped. And then they managed to fight their way back into the arena when it was clearly taped, because it was dark. It was dark in California at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't think so. No one wants to pay, I don't know how much money, to go see WrestleMania and watch a screen. I'm not liking it. I know everybody likes the Hardy compound matches and things. I'm not saying don't do one. I'm just saying that I don't know if WrestleMania is the spot. They didn't come there to watch a movie. And I know they'll probably fight back into the arena at some point, I guess. I don't even know if they can, because the Hardy compound's in South Carolina. So I don't know how they're going to do this. We saw the Vanguard bot. We saw the Lake of Redemption. We saw some of the things we haven't seen in a while. And it makes me wonder, well, how are you going to work this? Because if you do, in fact, let Matt Hardy go over at WrestleMania, there is no more Bray Wyatt. I don't care what you do with him. I don't care if you turn him into a juggler. I don't care if he wears clown makeup and comes out with a lion. It's over. It's over. There's only so many times you can fast build a guy by letting him beat a couple of guys you got no plans for and then say, oh, remember, he's good. Remember, look how good he is. He just beat Rhino in 20 seconds. Look how good he is. Oh, but he lost to Matt Hardy. But that's okay because he's going to beat Heath Slater in 30 seconds. Oh, but he lost to Finn Balor. You can't keep doing that. It won't work. You can't do it a million times. This is it. Something, you better get all your writers together and make this the biggest buildup for both characters in their history. Because Matt Hardy can't lose on his own compound and have any kind of credibility. And Bray Wyatt can't lose and have any kind of credibility. So you're going to have to make the plot of this somehow so they both come out looking good. And the only way you can do that is somehow Matt Hardy's going to have to, hopefully by then Jeff Hardy's better. Jeff's going to have to show up. Bray Wyatt's going to have to get a new family of some kind. They're going to have to show up. Things are going to have to start happening to where fans say, well, the match wasn't important. What's important is look what happened during this. There's new avenues, new roads, new branches on the tree for both of these characters. Because if there isn't, and it's just one guy wins and one guy loses, say goodbye to the guy who lost. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you're going to have to see, not only Jeff Hardy, we're going to have to see Rebe. We're going to have, and like you say, we're going to have to see. I mean, they've teased a possible, Sister Abigail type forever. I mean, there's only so much teasing you can do with this type of stuff. You're going to have to do something with that. And like you say, he's got to have a family. If you're going to have Jeff Hardy and Rebe Sky and Senor Benjamin, how's that going to make Wyatt look like a bad guy? Because it's going to be like you're going to have the odds stacked against Bray Wyatt,
Right. So, and he also can't get knocked unconscious by a boxing kangaroo, Sabretooth.
Yeah, truthfully, man, this is going to stink to high heaven because when they announced this, like, on his compound, I didn't know where the compound was located until you just said it's in South Carolina. And they're going to be in New Orleans. So how is that going to work anyway? I mean,
I don't know.
Like you said, they're going to be looking at a screen again. It's going to be a whole House of Horrors match again. And it's going to stink to high heaven. And Lord forbid that they have Matt Hardy shooting fireworks at Bray Wyatt on that compound.
Well, that would be it. That would be the end. I don't know, Todd. All I can tell you is they better have something very good planned for this, or it could hurt both characters.
You're absolutely right there. Well, like you said, like I said, I never liked the woken and broken gimmick in the first place. But I don't know. It's going to help both of these guys in this compound match. But that footage was we watched last night. It was from Impact Wrestling. They got it from.
Yep, I know. What would help them? I don't know. Let me think of something off the top of my head in 5 seconds. Okay, how about this? They fight at the compound. There is no fight at WrestleMania because they can't get back to New Orleans from South Carolina, so there is no fight at WrestleMania. They fight at the compound. All of a sudden, Jeff Hardy shows up. Senior Benjamin shows up. Rebe shows up, but they attack Matt Hardy. And Bray Wyatt takes over the compound and says, this is my new family. Your old family is my new family, Matt. And then you have Matt Hardy in an attempt to get back his family, who's at the behest now of Bray Wyatt, who has somehow managed to brainwash them, and maybe it actually has to make him unwoken, and he goes back to the regular Matt Hardy and says, I got to do something to get them out of Bray Wyatt's clutches. At least that's something, Sabretooth.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're going to have to do something, man, because they can't, like I said, this can't be another House of Horrors match just to wear.
No, you can't. And you can't turn bugs on the mat. That's not going to work.
Right, not for WrestleMania. You just can't do it, man. And also, I mean, and I noticed, like, that when Bray Wyatt comes out, people still love him. I mean, like, the Fireflies are still out there. I mean, it's still lit up for me, but there's still love for Bray Wyatt. I mean, so they need to do something with this guy, man, because
I don't know why they just don't go the whole hog with Bray Wyatt and have Bray Wyatt be that gray area face who clearly says, I'm not a good guy, I'm not a moral guy, I'm not an honest guy, but if you follow me, you're one of mine, you're one of me, you know, you're a part of me. Kevin Nash did it many years ago where he said, look, I'm tired of this nonsense. If I come out here and you're wearing the black glove, then you're down with Diesel, and then I'm down with you. If you're not, I don't give a damn about you. And then everybody sold a whole bunch of black gloves who like Kevin Nash, and there you went. Bray Wyatt could do the same thing. He could make his flock the audience. They haven't went there yet. I don't know why they haven't went there yet, and hopefully they will. I don't know. So we get The Miz, who, listen, it's now written in rock. The Miz is the best guy on the microphone in the WWE, bar none. The Miz is brilliant. The Miz had the Mizzies. I was laughing through the whole thing. He was brilliant. Even the announcers were brilliant when he clearly was about to give himself a Mizzy, and Seth Rollins come out and they're like, now we'll never know who's going to win that Lifetime Achievement Award. Very funny. Seth Rollins was really good. And then out came Finn Balor, whose entire persona is grinning like a child with gas. And he doesn't really say anything. He just grins at you like Forrest Gump. And man, did The Miz cut him down. Holy mackerel. Did The Miz cut him down and said, the only way you're over, you keep saying you're over, the only way you're over is with a hand signal that isn't even yours. And of course, Finn Balor had no retaliation because he's no good on the mic. And they decide they're going to have that 3-on-2 match. Good match. Seth Rollins ultimately wins it, and Kurt Angle announces it's going to be a 3-way, which means that probably Braun Strowman and Elias are not going to be added to that match like they said they were going to be. And this is important, folks, so listen up. I have no doubt in my mind that the WWE does not want Braun Strowman versus Elias for WrestleMania. He's already destroyed Elias twice. They are purposely keeping Braun Strowman out of any major feud, awaiting what this John Bravo guy is going to do with this supposed evidence he has against Roman Reigns. I'm telling you, he must have the WWE worried. Or Brock Lesnar might have the WWE worried that he may not even show. Something's up, because they are purposely keeping their top guy, which is Braun Strowman, one of their top guys. They're purposely keeping him to the left of any major feud, waiting to see if a bomb is going to drop. Because Braun Strowman versus Elias at WrestleMania is not a major spot at WrestleMania for Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman has earned way more than that. So there's a reason he's not involved in any major storyline right now. And that reason is, they're waiting to see if there's a bomb dropping. And all this good work they've done with Roman Reigns is going to come up for nothing if this Bravo guy drops his bomb and it's all legit. So I don't know. But that's what we get anyway. The Miz is fantastic. The Miz is right when he says, you know, despite where I am on the card, it always ends up being the match that the most people are interested in seeing. And Sabretooth, he's right.
Yeah, to me, I look forward to The Miz every week on Raw now. I mean, I look forward to him on SmackDown. I mean, whatever show he was on, I look forward to his segments because he's really shooting on people. I mean, when he does his stuff, He's shooting on people, really. Like with the whole Finn Balor using the hand signals, not even heels. And also I died laughing. And also I died laughing when the announcer said, "What's the worst move by general manager?" And the guy says, "Karango invites his bastard son on Raw."
Yeah, listen, that whole segment was brilliant. I mean, listen, The Miz is cranking on all cylinders. He has it. He has it, and that's all there is to it. And hopefully they reward it, because I'm telling you, he's got it going on. Now, Derek in the chat room saying no bomb has dropped yet, right? No. And I'll tell you something. I'm starting to get a little frustrated with this John Bravo guy, because I'm starting to think that he is purposely waiting until as close to WrestleMania as he can, and that's a bullshit move. If you've got something, show the damn thing or shut the fuck up. How's that? Because you waiting until just a few days before WrestleMania and keeping the WWE dangling on the string, you're only doing that for your own benefit. So don't come to me with bullshit about, "I'm not doing this to hurt anybody." Bullshit. Then drop it. Let's see what you got. Don't say, "I'll hang on to it. I won't play my card until it's too late for them to really do anything, and I'll help to spoil WrestleMania." Well, what good's that doing you? It's starting to piss me off. If the damn thing doesn't drop this week, I don't give a damn about it, because I don't believe them anymore. We'll see what happens. Anyway, The Miz, as always, Mike, totally fantastic. That was really funny when he said, Kurt Angle, who, you know... finally brings his bastard son to the WWE.
I mean, and look, you didn't even mention the facial expressions on Dallas and Axel. They're
right.
Doing a pretty good job as well. I mean, and look, when was the last time there was a Miz TV, an actual Miz TV segment? I'm missing it right now.
Yeah,
and
me too.
And we'll miss it for a few weeks or a few months when he goes off to be with his child and Maurice, you know. I'm missing as good as The Miz is, he's very good, but to me it would just complete everything if he had Maurice with him.
I missed that too. There's no question I missed that too. And look, that the whole segment just, it was perfect. Even the team backstage, the producers did a good job, because if they caught Jason Jordan in the worst expressions, every time Jason Jordan looked like a lummox, okay, the facial expressions they caught Jason Jordan with on each pose just made him look like a goofy lummox. Sabretooth was hilarious.
Right, like I said, that's why I look forward to them. I mean, whenever The Miz is on, whenever he's on, it's going to be something funny, or he's going to do something that's just just makes the whole world watch.
The guy's an entertainer. It's just as simple as that. He's an entertainer, and he's very entertaining to watch. Todd, a great segment again. The Miz, probably the best guy in the mic right now.
You're absolutely right there. That was one of the best funny skits I've seen in a long time, in a while, actually. I like the one part where Seth Rollins says to Balor's like, "You keep following me out here or something. Stop following me out here."
Yeah, keep following him out. I just love the facial expressions they caught on Jason Jordan while they're calling him every name in the book. It's funny as hell. Anyway, let's get to the Elias versus Braun Strowman in the Symphony of Destruction thing. First off, now we know Elias plays a few more instruments. Not super well, but he can pick on the piano a little bit, and he can keep a little bit of a rhythm on a drum. And this week's song was actually really good, maybe one of the better ones he did. And there's nothing that Elias can say at this point to the audience or sing about them that's going to get them to hate him. He is perched to be a top face. He told the whole audience, "There's not one single one of you people I like," and they cheered. So it's not doing Braun Strowman any favors to have him beat up Elias, because the fans don't hate Elias, and he can't make them hate him. So it's not really doing Braun any favors. Elias does the clever thing where he wants the second introduction, and then he heads for the parking lot as quick as he can get there, and Braun Strowman is supposedly holding up the car so that even when he drives away. You know, I feel badly sometimes for fans who, all the fans who listen to this show, thank you, by the way, because the numbers are growing and growing and growing, and we thank you very much for all the kind letters and messages you sent. But some fans have written me saying, oh, you know, I listened to this show or that show, and they said Braun really picked that car up. Okay, so Braun really picked the car up, and when the guy puts it in drive, the front wheels don't take Braun down the road? Come on. Are you that big of a mark? I'm not saying Braun ain't strong enough to pick up the car. He ain't picking up a car while the wheels are spinning on it. And why do you think they only showed him from the waist up? Holy mackerel. That's why you listen to this show. Because we'll give you the straight scoop on this, okay? We're not going to mark out and say, he did it. Braun Strowman picked that car up and Elias was trying to pull out the parking lot. Anyway, Elias took an ass kicking. Crushed by a piano. I don't know. I don't know what to say except that Elias is coming off as a face to me, and I don't know where they're leading with Braun Strowman, but I don't think it's Elias Sabretooth because I don't think that's a big enough match at WrestleMania.
Right, and to me, as far as Elias goes, he's like Rusev 2.0. I mean, you know, they're trying to make him to a heel, but the fans love him regardless. I mean, like you said, he insulted them, the Bucks and the Brewers. I mean, and you said I don't like a single one of you, and they still chill them. I mean, so it's
yep.
Oh yeah,
you can do no wrong.
I mean, yeah, it was good. Like to find out they can play like a few more instruments too. I mean, he can play the piano, the drums a little bit. So
yeah,
you know, so it's, you know, it's like a deal to fans more. I mean, he's not like a one trick pony. You know,
it lent a little credibility to his character that he really is a musician. Okay, I'm a musician, and listen, what he did on the piano wasn't overly impressive. What he does on the guitar isn't overly impressive, but he can play them. So it's not like it's fake. So he's sitting there doing it, and you're like, okay, this guy obviously did at some point in his life have some interest in music to pick up a guitar and say, I want to learn how to play a guitar, piano, whatever. So his character is correct. It's logical. So that way we're not bringing some guy out saying, oh, he's not really playing that guitar. You know, you can see he's not really doing this. He's, you know what I mean, Mike? It almost makes it look like it's real.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what we've seen with Matt Hardy and Reeby when Reeby's playing the piano. Reeby's very good on the piano, you know, and at least and that music she plays lends to that gimmick, you know, that broken, broken gimmick. But as the logical thing that happened is this match was very logical. You had him come out and break stuff. We've said it before. When you hear that music, what do you think? Somebody's gonna come and get, for lack of a better term, broken. That's what exactly happened. And then when he, after he crushes him with the piano and he pulls him out and he pins him, that's a logical thing right there. Not dragging him to the ring. Pins him right there. And the guys go, I even forgot the match was going on, you know?
Yeah, me too. And the good thing about it is they've got Braun Strowman up to this level where if you lose to him, it's no big deal. Because everybody loses to him. It doesn't hurt your career. John Cena got pinned by him. Seth Rollins got pinned by him. Finn Balor got pinned by him. Everybody's been pinned by him. You know? So now it's like, okay, well, big deal. So Elias got pinned by him too. So you've reached that stage with Braun Strowman where losing to him isn't any kind of a death knell to your push or your career. It's just, of course, you lost to him. Who hasn't? So that's good. So in a way, they're not throwing Elias to the wolves. I know a lot of people said, Elias keeps losing. Yeah, but he's losing to Strowman. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. If that was Finn Balor he was dropping to every week, I'd say, man, Elias is in trouble. That's Braun Strowman. It's not that big of a deal. So let's get to the Paul Heyman thing, because in all honesty, this was one of Paul Heyman's worst promos he has ever done. And here's why. None of it made any sense. He comes out and says, well, you know, nobody said this when The Undertaker only worked one match. Yeah, that's because for I don't know how many years The Undertaker worked every single Monday Night Raw. Every single SmackDown, every single pay-per-view, every single house show. The Undertaker worked for how many years? Doing shows every night, every night, every night, every night? So that's dumb. That doesn't make any sense. Then he goes on this weird thing about you don't choose the belt chooses you, the belt lusts after you, the belt... Well, I don't even know what the hell he's talking about. I have no idea what he's talking about. And for him to say, the only thing he said that I agree with, and I said he should say, is Brock Lesnar is going to march into the octagon with that WWE belt. That I liked. But what he should have said was a lot more like what we said he should say, and that is basically that, hey, Brock Lesnar is so angry. I didn't even dare bring him here tonight. He wanted to come. It's not like Brock Lesnar was asked to stay home by the WWE. The WWE wanted him here. I'm the guy who told him, stay home. You're too mad. I don't even trust you. But he's going to be here next week, so I'm not going to answer a lot of your questions, Roman. You can have Brock Lesnar do it for himself next week. That's all it need be. Then, of course, Roman comes out and he says, naturally, he sends Paul Heyman out because he don't want to be here. He don't want to waste his time coming, so he sends you. And they have the little back-and-forth exchange, and to be honest, it didn't help Roman any. It didn't help Brock any. It didn't help Paul any. You really wanted this to work, Brock Lesnar should have been there. And if he couldn't be there, then all Paul Heyman had to say was, save it till next week. Brock wanted to be here, and I told him no. Under no circumstances are you coming with the attitude that you have. Then it will at least baited us for next week. It's not a great way to end Raw. And unfortunately, I think the fans are trying to be manipulated into cheer for Roman Reigns because Brock Lesnar don't give a damn about you or the business, which is fine. But then Brock Lesnar has to show up to prove that. Brock Lesnar has to show up. If Brock Lesnar shows up next week and does basically what we said he was supposed to do, then fine. Otherwise, I don't care for this segment, and I think it doesn't lead fans to cheer much more for Roman Reigns than they ever did, Mike. So your thoughts on that and your overall rating?
Okay, my thoughts on this segment is once he said what he said, then what Roman Reigns should have done was should have speared him. You know, should have speared Paul Heyman. I know we've seen that before, but all right, you're gonna keep him here. You're gonna keep him away from me. Okay, I'm gonna get the next best guy, and that's you. So, you know, so that's that. And as far as my rating, as we said, this is an up and down Raw, kind of a middling Raw. So, it's kind of gonna be a middling grade, maybe a C minus.
Okay, so C minus from you. Sabretooth, I would have loved it if he just said to Paul Heyman, you know, you busted your ass for this business, Paul, and don't sit there and tell me that you don't know I'm right. Don't sit there and tell me that you don't know that Brock Lesnar spit all over this business, and the only reason you're not saying it is, A, you're scared of him, and B, you're making money off him. And if Paul Heyman had have not really responded, just kind of shrinked away, that would have been a whole lot better.
Right, like I said last week, they aren't going far enough with this thing. And also that segment last night, I mean, Paul Heyman didn't have an answer for what Roman Reigns said last week. Everything Roman
nope.
Reigns said was true. And he had no answer for it except The Undertaker, which was wrong. Which was bad because The Undertaker, like you said, he earned that. I mean, like, he didn't jump back and forth between MMA and WWE. He stayed with the company. He didn't jump back
That's
and
right.
forth like Brock. So that was a whole dumb argument anyway. So, but my rating, I'll straight C for the rating.
He's going to go with a C as well. Todd, what is your rating this week?
I got to go with Mike there. I got to go with a C as well.
Okay, my overall rating this week is going to be a C minus. I didn't even think some of the matches were very particularly good. They did have a great Miz segment. I was okay with the Elias segment. There was a couple of good things, but in reality, this WrestleMania is shaping up to be kind of bland, and I don't know if they can save it. We'll see what happens on SmackDown tonight, and we'll be back with you on Friday, 12 noon, for the SmackDown Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.